Monster Man, episode 416, Hattori and Haunt.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And we'll be taking a look at one new monster, and one that we have seen before. But before we do that, it's time to thank some new patrons. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's patrons, you pledge at the $2 level or higher, you will also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, where I take a look at, well, actually, originally, I was taking a look at the Deities and Demigods supplement for AD&D. I'm looking at the mythology behind those entries and how to use religion and mythology in your fantasy RPGs, but then I ran out of mythologies in that book. So now we're looking at mythology from around the world and what inspiration we can get from it for gaming. And we're just about to begin. Well, we're in the middle of beginning. This is all complicated. Anyway, we're a couple episodes into a new season about the mythology and legends of Hawaii. So, you know, if that sounds fun to you, maybe check it out. So thank you very much, Calvin Lindfors and Matt Fisher. I'm really glad that you're enjoying the show enough to want to support it. All right, let's take a look at some of these monsters. First up, we have the Hattori. So I did a little background reading on the Hattori. I believe they are originally a Dragonlance monster, although I couldn't tell you where in the Dragonlance canon they actually come from. They are in the 1990 Dragonlance appendix to the Monsters Compendium. Now, remember, the Monsters Compendium was the larger series of loose-leaf monster books that this book was compiled from. We may take a look at some of these appendices, because I think they're going to have a higher, percentage of new monsters. I would have done the Monsters Compendium, except that Monsters Manual is the one that I happened to find on an Oxfam shelf. Anyway, they appear in the 1990 Monsters Compendium Dragonlance Appendix, but I don't know where they come from in Dragonlance before that, if at all. They are said to be kin to dragons, but they're basically giant crocodiles that swim through sand rather than water. They live in deserts, and they struggle on firmer ground. Much is made of their kind of ecology here, and okay, here's where I have a problem. Sometimes, and this I think is an instance of it, the ecology section creates problems that did not need to be in the game. There was no need to talk about this stuff. So the Hattori section talks about how they are always hungry, and that's why they attack caravans and things, because they live in these arid desert environments where there isn't very much large prey. Yeah, of course there isn't. And you know what else there isn't in arid desert environments? Gigantic apex predators. You know, obviously in the real world we don't have predators that big, but when we do have very large predators, where do you tend to find them, right? In resource-rich environments, like the kind of riverine slash land environments that you get crocodiles in, or areas like wolves exist in environments where they can prey on relatively abundant other animals. There aren't blasted desert wastes inhabited by nothing but locusts and 100-foot-long crocodile monsters, except in a magical ecology, and that magical ecology doesn't require explanation. I would not be annoyed about this question of what a giant predator is doing in this arid, low-resource environment, except they brought it up. I'm sorry, I've been doing this book for a while, and I think the ecology sections are starting to get to me. Actually, the Hattori is pretty cool. Crocodiles are cool. I think we all have an association with crocodiles where we kind of, fear their sort of remorselessness, which is nice. We're afraid of them, but also we think they're cool. They've got kind of flippery front legs, so they don't move very well on very solid ground. So even though they're very powerful, you can still beat them, as it were, by just getting to an area of terrain that they can't traverse effectively. So that's nice. They can swallow people whole, which is a very Gygaxian thing. They're slightly different, it's hard to get out once you're swallowed, which I imagine would be the case with most animals in real life, but you can definitely see a PC being swallowed by one of these things and being ooh, swallowed by a giant lizard. Classic. It's 1977 all over again. And as we have frequently seen in AD&D monsters, treasure and magic weapons and armor and so forth are indigestible. So over the years, their stomachs will build up a big collection because, they eat a lot of caravan merchants, because caravan camels kind of the main dish that these creatures can enjoy, living as they do in an arid wasteland. But what that means is that when such a creature dies,
its skeleton kind of marks the location of this treasure deposit from its guts. And there is legend of a Hattori graveyard where ancient Hattori go to die, which means that they all kind of like pile up in the same place, lie down and die, and then decompose, leaving behind great deposits of gold and gems and plate mail plus one and so forth for your intrepid adventurers to go and recover. And this could either just be like a straight cash grab, or it could be that, you know, some messenger was bringing the blue jewel to the caliph, but he was eaten by a Hattori. And ever since then, you know, the kingdoms have been plunged into war for the lack of the beautiful blue jewel. And, you know, finally now, you know, a wise wizard has discovered where it is, and she sends you off to like the great Hattori graveyard. But of course you got to cross the Hattori infested sands, and rival adventuring party of conscienceless money grubbers out there just trying to sell the blue jewel while you're trying to use it to restore peace to a suffering land. There you go. That's the scenario. So the Hattori are all right, and they would have been even all righter if their entry were a little bit shorter. Next up, we have the Haunt. This is actually a creature that we have seen before. It appears in Monster Manual 2, and it is pretty much the same. A Haunt is a little closer to what you would typically think of as a ghost, but its special gimmick, or back in AD&D First it was, because remember, ghosts in AD&D First are not very like the ghosts of ghost stories, but Haunts, specifically what they do is they possess people. So a haunt is someone who died with like unfinished business in its life, and it will possess someone, say a player character or someone that a player character needs, and then run around trying to like use its newfound thumbs to complete that business. And you can't just go up and pummel it because it's actually your friend just with a haunt inside their body. So, you know, if you stab them or, you know, hit them with a lightning bolt, well, that's your friend that you're lightning bolting. And they tend to haunt the places where the person died. So places where death is commonplace, and like particularly like frustrating interrupted death, would be likely to have haunts. For instance, a dungeon. So it could absolutely be the resting place of like the last adventuring party. One of them has died and become a haunt or whatever. So haunts are a really good addition to other scenarios. They can be scenarios by themselves, but that runs the risk of taking one of the player characters off the board for a long period of time, which you usually want to avoid. I mean, it doesn't have to be a PC that gets possessed, of course, but as a little side mission in a larger scenario, I think they work quite well. It is a little bit of a shame that there isn't the kind of collective entry that we saw for gremlins and golems and giants for all the various kinds of like, well, there's ghosts and there's haunts and there's specters and there's, I don't know, shades and there's apparitions and there, you know, all the different synonyms for ghost could very well be in one place. All right, that's about all the monster entries that we have time for today. In the middle of this week, patrons at the $2 and higher level are going to be getting a delayed episode of Patron Deities from last week. And at the end of this week, we're doing another listener request special episode as we take a look at some of the classic monsters of childhood. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.